The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Joining us in studio, we have Dr. Cynthia Chafin, Director of the Center for Health and Human Services, and also Sarah Gwynn, Senior Project Coordinator for the Center for Health and Human Services in the Office of Prevention, Science, and Recovery. How are both y'all doing this morning?
Doing great. Thank you.
Doing great.
Tell us more about what you guys do there at MTSU.
Yeah, so we are the Center for Health and Human Services. We are a public health research and outreach center on campus. We are not affiliated with any one particular department or program. We work under the Office of Research Services, and we are a grant-funded department on campus. So we get all of our operations through external funding and sponsorships.
So what does a day in that office look like?
A day in our office is always exciting. We work on all sorts of different projects. We are not limited to any one area. Our mission and vision centers on advancing the health and well-being of Tennesseans. So health is a pretty big umbrella. Lots of things fit under it. We do most of our work in communities throughout Tennessee. We are not all campus-based. We are out in just about everywhere in the state doing different types of work.
Rural health, how does that fit in? Because I know there's been a lot of talk about expanding a lot of medical services in more rural areas of the state.
Tennessee is predominantly rural, so by virtue of that, most of the work that we do is done in rural Tennessee communities. A big part of that is access to resources. Those communities don't have some of the things that our larger metro areas have, so a big part of what we do is ensuring that they have resources for whatever the particular area is that we're working with them on. I know we're going to talk a lot about substance use today. So as an example, we're bringing resources to them specific to substance use that they may not get because they're located in a rural area. It's a huge part of what we do.
And what kind of substance use are we talking here?
In particular, we're talking about opioids. We've received several large grants specific to opioids. I know Sarah's going to talk a little bit about Rutherford County and what's going on here, but we do a lot of work throughout the state specific to opioids. It's a national epidemic.
And then, Sarah, where do we stand in Rutherford County on the abuse of opioids?
So it's been a journey. So between 2019 and 2022, our county saw a spike in opioid-related overdose deaths. Between those years, it increased 37%. And we topped out, I think, in the highest year of loss was around 140 lives that we lost due to opioid-related overdoses. We've made a lot of progress in the last 3 years. Now our overdose death rates are now back to that sort of pre-pandemic level, but we still have a lot of work to do because while people are not dying due to this, there's still high levels of substance misuse that's happening. We've just gotten really good at getting our overdose reversal medications out into the community. And so we're making some headway, but we're not quite getting at the root of the problem. And it is a multifaceted problem in our community.
What do you do about the cases where people truly need these pain medications for real uses? How do you go about combating? We need to make sure they don't overuse, but yet at the same time, we understand there is a purpose.
There is a purpose. That medication was a game changer, especially when it first came out. It allowed for people to start having surgery and be able to, you know, have pain-free healing periods. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that over time, one of the issues is the overprescribing of it, which is sort of what has led us to this current issue that we have of proliferated misuse of this substance. But the thing is that we have to educate prescribers and providers who have for many years just prescribed it like candy because they were told by the pharmaceutical companies that it was safe and non-addictive. And so we're having to make sure the prescribers are educated, and they're also educating the patients that say, you know, hey, this is how the medication should be used. Only take it while it's indicated through your pain levels. And also, here's some alternative pain management recommendations so that you don't have to go and get an opioid prescription from your dentist, because it's actually shown that doing an opioid for tooth pain doesn't actually help you. Like, it might make you feel good, but you know what you should do? Take ibuprofen if you can. So there's a lot of different directions to educate to help minimize the use of opioids in our community.
I would guess one of the glaring problems is you don't have a lot of, I guess, answers in the way of, well, instead of using this opioid, we could put in a spinal cord stimulator. But yet the problem is with those stimulators, they don't truly solve the problem. And a lot of cases, they actually don't work or cause further problems. So what else do you have in store for those who are experiencing nonstop pain?
Well, I guess they just need to be working with their doctors. I'm not well versed in that aspect of appropriately prescribed opioid medication usage. My work is mostly focused on when it's misused in the community. Mm-hmm. But just having really open conversations. If a person is in pain and they're not wanting to take opioids, there's conversations that they can have to sort of divert that to alternative pain management methods.
And do you think we are at a level now to where things are going to be more mainstream? Are things going to change much from this point on for as far as the prescription of these medications?
Well, I mean, there's two sources here. We've got your prescribers, people getting their medications through the pharmacy, maybe someone's
the normal way,
and then there's the illicit way. And what we're seeing is, as prescribing becomes more restricted and fewer prescriptions and pills are being brought home and in people's medicine cabinets, that's restricting access for the illicit methods. And so what you're seeing is, you're seeing our communities being flooded with synthetic opioid analogs. And what that means is, it's the street stuff. When it comes to some of the substance testing that our sheriff's office is doing, we're still seeing opioid. We're seeing fentanyl, you know, still the party stuff like cocaine and MDMA. And, you know, those things are still happening. But the top substances are the opioids that are manufactured outside of pharmaceutical
companies. So it almost seems like if we go too far one way, we're going to have a rebound effect too far the other way with the illegal street drugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people sometimes will graduate from those synthetic opioids to like methamphetamines. Mm-hmm. And methamphetamine right now is so damaging to the brain structure.
And we only have 20 seconds left. So next time, I guess we ought to have more time for this, but it sounds like an interesting situation for sure to learn more about. And if anybody would like to learn more about, I guess, what would be the best thing to do? Google MTSU and then...
Yeah, if they want to visit our website, chhs.mtsu.edu, we have some great content on there with some of our projects, and we would love to come back and talk about all of them or any of them.
Sounds good. Again, thank you for joining us.
That brisket came from your cow, right?
Yep, raised her, named her, thanked her, and now she's dinner.
Rutherford County Farmers Market. There's something fresh every week. Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 to 1 at Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro on John R. Rice Boulevard.